Turning tonight to the book of Paul, to the Galatians, and the final chapter of that epistle, and that's going to be there for the chapter 6. Galatians and the 6th chapter, beginning to read at verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. Now we need thy Holy Spirit to take this word, to make it profitable, beneficial unto us, glorifying through our activity unto thee. Help therefore the word to be riveted, to our conscience memorized by our minds and applied in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name and for thine eternal glory. Amen. Now, we are going to read again Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. But while we have read that verse again, and we read it in our Bible reading, now we have repeated that, we will be referring to it later on. But what we are doing here is expanding out from it to consider the subject, briefly, of the cross in this book of Galatians. So the cross in Galatians. To use the expression the cross is one that just about everybody has heard about, and yet they may not really know what it is all about. You would read about it in 1 Corinthians 1, the verse 18. You would read about it in Philippians 2, the verse 8. You'd read about it in chapter 3 of Philippians, the verse 18. And you'll come across it again in Colossians 1 and the verse 20. And we have expressions for it here. One thing that's always important to say, and that is right up front, is this. The cross that we're referring to is not an ornament. Be it silver, be it gold, be it brass, be it of whatever material, it is not an ornament. Not even an emblem that you might see in a church tower or attached increasingly to many, many churches, including those of so-called evangelical persuasion. We're not talking about that. We're not talking certainly about a crucifix that many in the Roman Catholic faith will hold dear and would feel that they were totally underdressed should they not venture out with that crucifix around their neck. That is not what we are talking about. We're not even talking about bearing our burdens, and we read about that right at the beginning of Galatians chapter 6 here. Verse 2, for example, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you'll probably be well familiar with a hymn, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Now, I am not talking about the cross in that context when we are looking at the cross in the book of Galatians tonight. You and I do have to bear a cross. We will endure suffering as good soldiers and hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But that is not what I have in mind or Paul is deliberating upon when in this book he talks about the cross. What he is referring to, that great fact and the significance of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary. We could use another Bible term with which we're very familiar, that is the blood of the cross. Ephesians 2 and the verse 13, 1 Peter 1, the verse 19, we read about it there. And you will be very familiar, I'm sure, with 1 John 1 and the verse 7, and even Revelation 12 and the verse 11. All terms in the scriptures homing in on this particular issue, the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But when we're looking at the cross, and that's our focus tonight, what we are considering is the unique nature of the sacrifice that Christ made for us upon that cross on Calvary. His death, the purpose, the significance of that atoning death. And so we're coming to look at a number of things here in the book of Galatians, beginning in chapter 1 and in the verse 4. Galatians 1 and the verse 4, if you turn to these various references with me, please, we will go through them one by one tonight. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And so the emphasis here, the words, if I were telling you to underline a phrase in this verse in Galatians 1 and the verse 4, I would say underline, gave himself for our sins. Our sins have incurred the penalty that sin demands, that God's righteous law that we have broken by our sin dictates. And that penalty is death. Ezekiel 18 and 4, Romans 6 and the verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But in order that we may not die, the Lord Jesus Christ came in, took our place, died in our stead. We're looking at the subject here of substitution. And of course, if we were to go into the Old Testament scriptures, a wonderful staging post to reach would be Isaiah 53 and the verse 5 and 6. He was wounded for our transgressions. Then we might go into 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 and also move over to 1 Peter 2 and the verse 24. But all of these bringing us to the cross are flagging up this fundamental, wonderful concept and truth, that of substitution. He gave himself for our sins. But then coming back to the cross, there's another word that is associated with it, and that is identification. Identification. Now we come, and we'll come a couple of times to this particular reference, and it's the verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, and the verse 20 where Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And there's that expression that already we have considered, and gave himself for me. So we've got substitution in the verse, we have also got identification here as well. Not only, Paul is teaching here, not only did Christ die for us, but we died with him. That's what we read about in Galatians 2 and the verse 20. He dies on Calvary, and the judgment that fell there was the judgment of God upon the old creation. He dies as our representative, our federal head, the second Adam. And therefore, we who were forming a part of that old creation with the old nature within us, when we believe in him, when we turn to him in repentance, we died with him. That's what the apostle meant. And he's looking back to the cross here, and he writes that I have been crucified with Christ. I have been nailed to that cross. Now, if you want to further explore that, we would do so by turning to Romans 6. We haven't time to do that tonight. But in Romans 6, we would find in verse 2, we that are dead to sin. Verse 3, baptized into his death. Verse 6, knowing that our old man is crucified. In Romans 6, in the verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin. In other words, when our Lord Jesus Christ died, we died. We are to reckon upon that very fact. Now we will talk about our old nature and about its ongoing death in a moment or two. But first of all, we have got this substitution. Then we come to identification. And then thirdly, we come, and I'm sure you're expecting this, redemption. Redemption by his blood. And if you turn with me to that wonderful text in Galatians 3 and verse 13, wonderful and yet gruesome in its wording, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And if you turn over to chapter 4, having gone to 3:13, chapter 4 and the verse 4 and 5, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that ye might receive the adoption of sons. What does it mean to be redeemed from the curse of the law? Well, the law makes a demand upon you, it makes a demand upon me, and we cannot meet the demand of the law. The law says, do this, and you'll live. But if you don't do this, then you are going to die. And we could struggle all through our days into eternity, doing this, doing that, and find, I can't do it. Therefore, I must be condemned. And because we break the law again and again, we are under the curse of the law. Christ died, taking our place, standing in our stead to deliver us from this very curse. Suppose the way of salvation were by the keeping of the law. Well, in the first place, we could never be saved if it were by the keeping of the law, because not one of us can keep the law of God. That's why we have the reminder in the Ten Commandments. And we see when we read down of that and catch not just the letter but the spirit, that we are falling short every time. So in the first place, if salvation were to come in by law keeping, we could never be saved because we can't keep that law. But in the second place, If salvation were by the keeping of the law, we could never, right through our life, we could never have any assurance of salvation, because no matter how much we tried, no matter what effort we expended in the project, we could never have the assurance of salvation, because we would be conscious, I've just failed, I've failed again. What if I'm bowled out and ruined by all of this? So assurance would never be ours. And even if we entertained the notion, and it is a notion, and it's a false notion, but even if we did entertain the notion that what it's about here is, I do this, but the Lord makes up by his death on the cross what my good deeds have not reached. And I've got to step 2, maybe, and I need to get to step 5. Well, I'll do the first 2. The Lord will do 3, 4, and 5. If that's the way it was, again, all the time we would be wondering, have we done enough? Have I even got onto step 2? Have I slipped off it onto 1, or maybe onto the base level again? There would be no assurance of sin. We don't need to worry about that. When we know, as Paul tells us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. And if that curse in its entirety has been shouldered by Christ, and if he has, as we know he has, drank the last dark drop, then the cup of the curse is empty tonight for me and for you. Redemption is thundering out in glad music from the cross. But then there's another word that comes to mind from Paul's teaching here, and that is persecution. In Galatians 5 and verse 11, for example, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." And you can read on into chapter 6 and come to the verse 12. "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." On that cross at Calvary, our Lord suffered a most shameful death. And all who follow him, they will, he has said, will suffer persecution. You see, the cross is an offense to the natural man. He doesn't like to think about this. He doesn't approve of, in his own heart and mind, God's way of salvation. He wants it to be something different, somewhere where there's a component that he can engage in and he can do something. And so the cross is an offense to his mind. Those who love it, those who preach it, what should they expect? Well, wait for it. You're going to suffer persecution. Don't expect, when you go out witnessing to souls, that you're going to say, "That's a wonderful message." Because if the old man is rearing up on his hind legs within them, they will find it an offense. The Jews did. The Gentiles do as well. 1 Corinthians 1 and the verse 23, it's a stumbling block unto them. You see, for the Jew, death by crucifixion, that's the last way you would want to go. That's a most degrading form of punishment. And that's why we have it described the way we do in Galatians 3 and the verse 13 that we have already read. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." So that cross speaks to me of persecution. And if our Lord was persecuted unto death, we his followers can expect persecution as well. John chapter 14. There's another word in here related to the cross, and that is separation. And now we're back, as I said, we would go to Galatians chapter 2 and to the verse 20. Galatians 2 and 20 again, I'm sure most of you could quote this by heart. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He dies on that cross that we might have deliverance and power over and victory over that flesh that we strive, yes, and we struggle as well. And you'll see the struggle here in Galatians 5 and verse 24. For one example, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And there's a whole list there. If you back up that chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and they start with adultery, and they keep moving through 19 and 20 and 21, revelings and such like, and these are the works of the flesh. And when we read them, we can identify with them because we can cry, guilty as charged. And these sins still rear their ugly heads against us. But we have to act by the power of God, by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, and do what is said here, crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. I wonder if you ever commemorated or held a funeral service for yourself, because you, your old man, should be kneel to that cross, and our desire is, may it die, may it die, may it die more and more every single day. So the thought of separation is here. Then a sixth thought, looking at the cross in Galatians, back to chapter 1 and the verse 4, and then through to the final chapter, 6 and 14. We said we would get to 6 and 14 at a stage, and now we're coming there. But first of all, Galatians 1 and the verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So the word deliver, deliverance, is in there in 1 and 4. Then 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. His death on the cross was to deliver us from this present evil world, so that we might be that separated people, the last word that we considered. And so we need to be careful. Do I want to live by the world standards? I shouldn't. Do I want to look and sound like the world does? I shouldn't. Do I want to engage in the world's pleasures, those empty pleasures? They show a little bit of joy for a little time, then like a bubble they burst, but I shouldn't. Do I want to be like the very people that God does not want me to be like, because he has delivered me, died to deliver me from this present evil world? What is this world but society with God left out? And we see the evidence of that everywhere we turn. Men worship themselves, the creature, more than the Creator. It is society with God left out. More than that, it's the society that crucified the Lord of glory. It's a society today that has still no place for Jesus Christ. We're living in the world, that's a necessity, but we're not to be off the world or rooted to the world or so firmly tied to the world, because our Lord has died for the purpose of emancipation, deliverance from this present evil world. Final thought here on the cross of Christ in the book of Galatians, and we're back again to 6:14. It is exaltation or magnification. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Great old American preacher Gardner Spring wrote a book. He entitled it The Attraction of the Cross. And that would be something, when we go into the closet every day, something worthy to pray and intercede before God. Lord, show me the attraction of the cross today. Let it lift my spirit. Help me as I praise thee to glory in that finished work, to glory in the cross. And may everything else be put into second, third, fourth, all those lower positions. As Paul is telling us here in 6:14 in the book of Galatians, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. That's number one. save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I end as Paul does in this verse. God forbid, given the importance of the cross, the value of the cross, the beauty of the cross, what it means to me, has done for me, will mean to me for all of God's eternity, God forbid that I should put anything in front of it. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.